tweede, de twee weer op een gegeven moment als een helpen.
Good morning. Today we're holding Er Shabbos Kodesh Parshas B'Chakosai in Chutzalot Parshas B'Midim in Eretz Yisrael. And today the Sfira is the 41st day of Sfira. Every day of the Sfira we know that we have a tefillah we say after the Sfira Sa'ima that we're trying to be misakin various in Yonim in Sfira Sa'ima. And today, last night, we said by the tefillah of the Rebbeinu Shleilim after the Sfira Sa'ima that we're misakin in of Yisoid Shebi Yisoid. Yisoid Shebi Yisoid, the sixth day of the sixth week, which, as many know, is the Yotzad of the Grace of Tzaddik, Rav Shlomke Zvila from Yerushalayim, came originally from Zvil. Rav Shlomke Zvila's Yotzad is today Yisoid Shebi Yisoid. And today's Shia, the Friday Shia, is always designated for Divrei Torah throughout the Shia. For the families, we start the Shema over Shabbos. So even if we say stories about Rav Shlomke, it's always by Kodshim we know, Halayla Hoylech Achayoy, and the night goes after the day. When it comes to a korban, you bring a korban by day, you can eat also by night. So we'll have a license to be able to share things tonight as well. Rav Shlomke, covered Rav Shlomke's Yotzeit. So I'll begin with the Murda Kemaisa by Rav Shlomke. We'll see how this ties in as well to Parshat B'Chakosai. He was a rov in a town in Zvil, and he ruled the town very, very firmly. There was no messing around. Even the Maskinim tried to bring a friar school there. He told the Chevra Kedisha that they can't bury any one of the Maskilim's children, anyone of the Maskilim, not Anifta. They won't be able to bury them. And obviously that made sure that brought law and order very quickly when one of them passed away. But Lemaisa, when he came to Yerushalayim, he managed to hide himself for the first period of time. But afterwards, people got to know and realize who he was. So what happened was, he had a very open house, in the literal sense. Called Surua, Vachol Zav, everyone was in and out, wherever wanted. Ala Orcha Porcha came in, there was no door that was shut at night and locked. It was an easy come, easy go. And all the downtrodden people found the place where Rav Shlomke and his Makayev them. But as always, there was always some interesting personalities that paid him a visit. And on one occasion, which I want to talk about now, was when someone had seemingly a very difficult time. And he came in there and he started screaming away, shouting away, cursing him. People that were listening, it was difficult for their ears to be able to hear such titles about such a tzaddik. And he didn't stop after a second. He went on and on. He poured his wrath out onto him. The people didn't understand what was going on, what the tzaddik has done. So when he finished, and obviously he didn't respond, he kept quiet. He turned around to his gabba and he asked him, can you please find out where this gentleman lives? Find out his address. Okay, the gabba is a ne'emot. He finds out where this person lives. And he comes back, he tells Rav Shlomke where he lives. So for the next few hours, Rav Shlomke went around Yerushalayim collecting money. After he went around spending a long time collecting money, he gives the money that he collected to his gabba, and he said, can you please bring this money to this yid at home? And that was already too much for him to swallow. He said, listening to all that what was going on was already very painful to me. To watch the Rebbe spend his precious, give away from his precious time, a busy schedule, just to go and collect money, okay, there must be a good reason for it, a good cause, an urgent cause that came up. But after all that, to go and give it to the person that gave you such clawless, well, what's going on? So he said a fascinating insight, Shemamish Moedig. He said that I understood, and I was listening to this yid, that obviously he's got a very difficult life. I don't know what the matter of Shlomo Bayis at home. I don't know what the matter of his economical situation is, what's going on. He must be very, very pressured, very, very tight. And I haven't done anything wrong to him as far as I know. So I was his korban. He gave all his, he let out all his emotions on me. So now what am I going to do? I'm going to listen and try and work on myself not to get insulted. Let me do something much more. Let me look through it all. And let me understand what's really bothering him. And I see a yid in front of me that needs help. Fine, what can I do? I don't have so much money to give him. I'll go around collecting money. I'll do what I can to ease his pain. And that's what he did. So he was so personally removed from the incident. He was only looking to see what he can help to see the other person. Now he went out of his way. And I happened to find out about someone that knew about, heard about the story. And when one of his relatives gave him, one of his family members, a grace in Mishaberach, and he remembered the story. So he had put away some large amount of sum of money for Meistergeld. He went to the local Gabbard stock in that town. And he said, can you please give to this family this money? Okay, fine. No one needs to know who it's from. The feedback that came back was, how did you know all of a sudden that we're so tight at home for money? How did you know? Instead of getting insulted, he realized, it's not his problem. That person going through a difficult time. Let's be here for them. Let's try and help them. This is Be'emes Navoida Siris Ha'ima. And the Svarim tell us that the gematria of Lev Toiv, good heart, is gematria is 49. It's the first 32 days up until Lag BaOmer. And after the last 17 days, in Toiv and Toiv, we're preparing for Shavuos. The person has a Lev Toiv, he's there to see how he can help other people. And the Mishnah says in Ovis, including the Lev Toiv, is the Ayin Toiv. All the ways, Talmid Rabbi Yechon Mezakai, they were told what to look for the right way. Everything's included in a Lev Toiv. That's the Emes Tavoida of Sefiras HaOmer. And a person does this, he's out to be able to help the other person. It's a completely different way of hearing things, of seeing things, understanding things. So the Emes, this is the Pasuk, this week's Haftarah. The Pasuk says, Boruch HaGev Asher Yiftach B'Hashem, V'hoy Hashem Eftachoi. Blessed is the person that has B'tochen Ribbono Shel Olam, relies on Hashem. And then V'hoy Hashem Eftachoi. The more person relies on the Ribbono Shel Olam, then likewise is going to be Mo'ira, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should have his Hashkoch on him. Chovis Avovis writes this in Shai B'tochen, and he explains this Pasuk, that there's two parts over here. There's Boruch HaGev Asher Yiftach B'Hashem. That's the stage that a person does, relies on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And through that, he will be Mo'ira, Midda Keneged Midda, V'hoy Hashem Eftach, and have extra Hashkoch brought is looking at him. The more we're here to help other people, the more we're here to see other people, to understand their needs, then automatically that will be Mo'ira, that the Ribbono Shel Olam will look after us. And this Be'emes is this week's Sedra. As the more we give ourselves away for the Torah, the more we give ourselves away for the Ribbono Shel Olam, then not the Ribbono Shel Olam will reward us. The Rebbeinu will look after us, and that's a big difference. This is not my chiddush. This is a Rambam and Hilchos Teshuva Perek Tes. The Rambam explains that when you look at this week's schedule or various other parashas in the Torah where there's brachas, and it's a very simple question to ask. We know Ascha B'Hai Al Melekeh. There's no reward on this world. The real reward is to get rewarded in Olam Haba. We can't exchange learning Torah and doing mitzvahs for some money and health. There's a lot more to it than that. There's Olam Haba is beyond our comprehension. That's really what it's worth. So much so that when Chazal tell us, as Yikorahim Yipnimim, when we're talking about Torah, Mechikos Telecho, Shetiyam Olam Torah, Yikorahim Yipnimim, Torah is more valuable than diamonds. That's a simple translation. So Chazal tell us, doesn't mean Yipnimim, the literal from diamonds. It means that it's more precious than the Kohen Gadol that goes lifnai v'lifnim. The word pnimim, Chazal Darshan, lifnai v'lifnim. So Rishon Shadron said that Drosha, he was actually talking in Antwerp, the people that understood the diamonds are. And he said over from his brother-in-law, Shlomo Zalman, Urbach, that why do we have to change a simple type to the Pasuk? You've got diamonds. Diamonds are quite valuable. Especially if you've got a lot of them and they're quite big and they've been organized or whatever, set in a way, they've been cut in a way that they're worth what they should be worth. And you have a whole bag, a whole room of diamonds, and I say, you know, Torah is worth more than that. So it's a lot of money. So why did Chazal have to start changing it to mean lifnai v'lifnim? So he said, let's say a person is trying to explain to someone else how much he paid for a house. And he's sitting there by a table and he's got a meal in front of him with some salads and some first course of meat, whatever he's got there. So he turns to a friend and he says, you should just know that I paid for my house more than these pickles on the table. You say, okay, shkoich. But to me, they're very, very, very special pickles these. They come all the way from Zealand, wherever they come from. He says, come on, you know, you're talking here about a property, a house, however cheap and expensive it is, you can't compare the two. So Shom said that, he said, I've had the diamonds are as precious as they are. But we're talking about trying to describe Torah is more precious than, so how can you use diamonds as a marshal? Chazal to find something which has got Kedusha, Kedusha Kedoshim, the Kohen Gadol goes to Fnaim and Fnaim. Torah is more precious than that. That's the Yikorim and Pnimim. But it sounded like that the Oyin, I appreciate the diamonds were, had a little bit of a difficult time swallowing this pshat. So they said, they wanted to tell Reb Sholem, I see that you haven't seen what diamonds can really be worth. So Reb Sholem told him, I see you haven't seen the Reb Shlomo Zalmanist. You have to always have the right perspective and everything. But upon him, when it comes to Torah, you call it Pnimim. So the Rambam said, I don't understand. Wonderful. What sort of reward is that? For it's not really a fair deal. So Rambam says, we're not talking about Scha. We're not talking about rewards. We're talking about opportunities. We're talking about giving the person, the Menuchas HaNefesh, the ability to be able to learn, to be able to Mekayim Mitzvahs. For a person to Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs, he takin needs Menuchas HaNefesh, he takin needs Shemaitzah Bois Lusa, he has to have a clear mind, he has to be healthy. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, Bereishis Bora, the first thing is, Bora Brios, a person has to be healthy, a person has to have what he needs to have. So Hashem will look after his needs, and to enable him to be able to continue living the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants him to. And the moshel for this is, like we see it in the business world, you can have two people staying, for example, in the same hotel, driving the same luxurious car, and afterwards have a shmooze together, and he says, wow, it's so expensive. And the other person says, I've got no idea how much it costs. He says, no idea how much it costs. He said, I've been saving the whole year to afford to be able to go on holiday over here. So he says, that's the difference. He said, I didn't come on holiday. He said, I work on behalf of a prestigious company, and they got prospective clients in this area that they want me to meet. So therefore, they gave me a room in a hotel. They gave me a car. They looked after me. In order to be able to do the work for them, it went on the business account. So the same thing is Kiviyoch with Rebbein Shem, the same thing. We can have access to Hashem's business account. We understand, as Imchakos Telechu, we're working with the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs, and we're not here to enjoy ourselves and also to chap around a few mitzvahs. Works the other way around. We understand that we're here, messengers from Hashem to Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs. So then, of course, how can I keep Torah Mitzvahs if I'm not given the needs that I need to have? Nosati Gishmeichim Etam, all the brachas I need to have. So he says they're not brachas as rewards. They're opportunities, and they're Hashem looking after us. The more we rely on Hashem, we want to do His rotzen, so accordingly, Hashem will look after us as well. Imuch HaGoyzah Telechu, this week's Sedra starts off with the letter Aleph, and the end of the brachas finishes off with a Tov, Koyme Mius. So the Gemara Bar Basra, Taf, Peichesam at base, Omer Reb Levi. Hashem is not like a human being. In what sense? When Hashem blesses Klal Yisrael, He benches Klal Yisrael, He benches them with 22 letters. And the Klala was only with eight letters. And the Gemara says, what are the 22 letters? In B'chokos HaTalich starts with the Aleph, and the Klamamiyas ends with the Sof. Mashekim Shabenu, the Gemara continues. So here's for Reb Osher Druk, he was here by the Dirsh HaSim Shtabura. He said, I don't understand. Imbuch HaKoysa is the brocha. We're talking about what you have to do. So the first pasuk saying the conditions. Imbuch HaKoysa Telech. Then starts the brochas. So the brochas, the chariz start from the second pasuk, etc. From the letter Vav. Why does the Gemara say that the brochas start with the letter Aleph? So he said, the Moed Kipshat. He said, you think the bracha is the fact that Nasati Kishmechem Etam, he says the ability to be able to learn. That's the first bracha. That's really where the brachas begin. The geshmak, the schus, the opportunity to be able to become Torah Mitzvahs, that's where everything begins from. That's why the Gemara can say that we start with the letter Aleph. So I heard this week in Moedek Emaisa, there was a Yid in Bnei Brak when he was a child. His Rebbe took his class to the Chazon Ish to be fahed on a Perek Gemara, wherever they were finished learning. So you can imagine the Chazon Ish's apartment wasn't some major fancy flat. It was an innocent room with some broken chairs around the table. All the Chediglich come in and sit around the table. The Chazon Ish starts asking him a few questions for hearing them. So he related how he saw the Chazon Ish's sense of excitement, and he was beaming, he sees after the war, we've already got a whole class of children coming to forget themselves on a chelik in Torah. He said that shine in the Chazon Ish's face went very, very deep into his soul. It didn't last very long. He was a child. At the time, he didn't see the big deal. Fine, okay, he's the Rav in the town where he lives, and he went for Feher. As scary as Feher is always for little children, so it was before and then afterwards. But the same day, the Rebbe decided to treat them with a very unique prize. He took them to a chocolate factory that they should go and watch from inside. It was a Haim Shid at the factory to watch how chocolates were made. So you can imagine a child seeing a chocolate they made, what that meant for them. So the children went to the factory and they were shown around how everything's made from stage by stage. And the biggest surprise was yet to come. As they were leaving, he says, "Don't go yet." He opened up the warehouse where all the chocolates were and he told the children, "Take as much as you want." Now just imagine a child hearing those words. They were upset they didn't wear another cardigan that day for another few pockets to be able to stuff them in. Wherever they could put chocolates in, their right pocket, left pocket, in their shoes, the back pocket, whatever, their coat pocket, inside, outside, they managed to stuff themselves with chocolates. They couldn't believe what they were hearing. Okay, Bnei Brak's not one of the coldest countries in the world, as you know. Especially in those days, air conditioning really wasn't very common, especially on school buses. So, and today in Maslow as well, there was some delay or the minibus had broken down on the way. So they make a shakam libidvori. Maybe ask Dan Krauss will tell you should have made the eats as well. First on chocolate, we'll go into that now. But Akaponim made the shakam that the minigoylim is. And as they're eating the chocolate, come on, there's a limit. You know, one bar, 1.5 bars, 1 or 3 quarters, maybe 2 bars. But they're still left with a lot of shiraim all over the place. And the sun, the Israeli sun is baking on them. And as we know, what happens when sun bakes on chocolate, Baruch Hashem, it leaves over a very, very wonderful zeicher. So within not too much time, there were all sorts of colored skin. There was chocolate oozing down them, brown, all different flavors and colors, what was going on over there. By the time they came home, you can imagine what they looked like. The mother asked them, "Where have you been?" The fact that Baruch Hazanish was long forgotten. But they said, "Listen, we went to a chocolate factory. Look what's going on." Okay, the Mishabech, the mother gave them, was probably also quite exciting. As they finished that day, it was a day that etched in their minds for many years to come. So this year, as he got older, and he was reflecting back what that day meant to them, he said, "I'll tell you what happened." He said, "B'shas Meiser, the Chazanish's Feher was more scary than enjoyable. And the chocolates, come on, and we're little children, what we had, the seeing and getting this reward." But years later, he thinks to himself, how many times when he was a bocher or a man, and he didn't have such a cheshik to learn, and he just reflected back to that face of the Chazanish, that shine on his face, seeing children coming to Feher to learn Torah, that inspired him many times to be able to continue learning. It's hard. But say that, look at the Chazanish, look what he went through. He still learned, he became Adam Gadol, and he showed us what Torah meant to him. Even, and the chocolate, boy by yoim already was long over. Everything that happened to it, it just melted away. So many times when it comes to Torah mitzvah, it's the same thing. Person sometimes is between them chukaisa telechem is moisa tishmuru versus when the static is shmeichem betam the nosna oretz peria nosna oretz. There's a lot of rechamik on shvei gevula. When it comes over here, what do we see? That the zeich the b'shas meis is always the nisoyin of the chocolates. And we have to realize it may be enjoyable at now at this present in time, but even a few moments time. Even if, as we're eating it itself, is a limit how many kashrus we can take into ourselves. Whereas Torah is Netzach Ratzachim, Torah keeps us with us for many, many years to come. The Pasuk says later on, by the Klolos, Pasuk Chavah, we know that Tzadikim had always ways to interpret the brachos into the Klolos, but the simple translation over here, I saw a Mordechai Pshat this morning. Now the Pasuk says, or Daft, we're talking about the enemies ruling over Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk finishes off, Ve'ein roi defeschem, which means that even though they're going to be ruling over you, they're not going to be chasing you. So Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yudzayin. Ve'rodu v'chem soyneichem, they will rule over you. Ve'nastem, you will run away. Ve'ein roi defeschem, no one chasing you. So the cash is, l'chayr, someone's chasing them, it's much more scary. If someone's chasing them, they see someone chasing them, the fear is going to be even more. Of course it's stupid to run away when no one's chasing you. But the chedik of the call is, ve'ein roi defeschem. So there was a mice of the Brisker Rav that there was a meeting, there was a certain town, where he was Rav, there was a sheikh that had shechted without hashkocha, without permission. And they were very upset about it, and they had to do something about it. They called an emergency meeting in the Brisker Rav's house to be able to deal with what happened. And they realized if we don't do something straight away, we won't have the same effect. We can't delay till tomorrow, we can't push it off. The problem was that the sheikh had found out He found out what was going on, and he turned up. He wanted to be present at this meeting. Well, obviously, if he's there, they couldn't talk anything about it. So he's sitting there, and the Mishkav wants to talk about it, and the sea is there. So, you know, basically, they can't discuss this Indian. They can't ask him to leave. So he went on to talk about other things in the town, and they made themselves all innocent what the real purpose of the meeting was. And then, eventually, after some time, the Mishkav stood up, he went outside the room, and the Askalon went over to the Rav and he said, "What should we do? Can the Rav please ask him to leave?" So he said, "Why are we coming to this meeting? Because you want to be able to matzliach, you want to be able to achieve what you want to achieve." He said, "The problem is, if we're going to be roid of him, we're going to breathe down his neck and chase him out of the room, then he will become a nirduf. He will become someone that's chased." And the Medrash Tanchuma says, "And the Kim Yevakesh is a nirduf, is even for a Rosha, even for someone that's wrong. But if you're chasing after someone, then the Hashem is going to be on his side." So we have to be very cautious to make sure that we don't have the opposite effect and turn the person that we want to sort out into the nirduf, and he'll be the one, and the Kim Yevakesh is the nirduf. So therefore, what's the point? We'll have to wait. Either we'll manage or we won't manage. But to do what you want me to do, it's going to have the opposite effect. So the Pasuk says, "Ve'ein roidef eschem." You won't even have the chelik of being a nirduf. Someone finds himself in a situation where he's near that other people are bothering him and chasing him, then it's an opportunity, and Kim Yevakesh, Kivyoch Hashem is seeking and looking for him to be able to see what he needs. And no difference on his madrega, whether it's a tzaddik or a rosh. At the beginning of the sedra, there's 42 pshatim, there's 42 pshatim in Rechaim HaKadosh. And as we began, today is the middah, the middah of Yisoid Sheb Yisoid. These are all Kabbalistic terminology, which I have very little understanding with. But on a very basic, simple level, the Midas HaYisoid has got a shaykhis with one of the pshatim in the Rechaim HaKadosh says over here, on the Pasuk in Mechukesa Telechu. There's various Midas, the Chesed, the Gevura, Teferis, all the Midas. Midas HaYisoid is based on the Pasuk, on the Chashem Agdula, that's the, all the Midas, Chashem Agdula, Vagvura, Teferis, Vanesach, Vahoid. Then you got the words, and then the Chashem HaMamlocha, that's Midas HaMalchus. Bashamayim of Oretz, is that Chazal say, the Targum says, the Ochid Shemayim V'Aru, which means to connect the heaven and earth. What do you mean to connect heaven and earth? Which means as follows. In a very simple way, it's not a Kabbalah, it's a Halacha Shulchan Aruch. It's a Halacha Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mereish Lamed Aleph. It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. V'chol derochecha de'eh, which means in all your ways, you should know the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Chaim Kodesh explains with this, that's what it means, Mechukosai Teilechu. Teilechu means, from the Pasuk, Bechol Derechecha Do'ehu. Do'ehu means you should know Hashem. Whatever you're doing, when a person is eating or sleeping or drinking, whatever he's doing, he's connecting heaven and earth. That means he's transforming this world to be able to use it with the Kavona Teva for the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this seems like lofty madrigas. So if Shlomo Kuzvil is Yotah today, he said, Apostle Megillas Esther, very original Pshat. He said, "Yovei Hamelech v'Homel Ayoyim El Amishna Ashosa Este." Who was invited? The Hamelech and Haman. They invited where? To the Mishte. See, he says, Hamelech, we know Chazal say, refers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Haman is the Yetzahara. So the fact that by the Mishte there's going to be a Yetzahara to entice the person to indulge in to Tavaseinim Hazeh, we know Haman's going to be by the Mishte. And we can't deny the fact, we don't have to fool ourselves. But the Chochm is also to make sure to invite HaMelech. Also have a Mael Hashem Shemayim. That means Mishaburu says there, in Simreish Lamed Aleph, the An Shemayim to say, "Ein ani oichel anoes gufi." I'm not eating to benefit my body, only in order to have koyach to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. So someone asked, he was worried if something is got ice cream, he was worried, he was declaring what sort of ice cream, what watery ice cream, has it got a din of a oichel, or has it got a din of a mashke? He didn't know what it was. So I asked, what's enough kimina? Anyway, it's shahakel. He says he wants to know when he says, before he starts eating, "Ein ani oichel lanois gufi," or "Ein ani shoyse lanois gufi." He wants to know what to say. So, very humorous to be able to fool ourselves that about Kaponim. Also, Yoveh HaMelech V'Ambon, even if Ambon's going to be there. But also, at the end of the day, if we don't eat, if we don't sleep, if we don't do what we need to do, we don't exercise, whatever we need to do for bodily needs, then we won't be able to serve the Ribbono properly. So therefore we can transform all that avodah zarah also to be able to elevate them to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And even when a person looks around this world, if he looks at it with a pneumistic eye, looks at it internally, he will see that it's alive. Not just because the science has revealed to us how many atoms are, what's going on in every single domim, every single object which seems to be still. But in the pneumis, Rechaim HaKadosh writes in the apostle, which we're going to say tonight, V'ayichul HaShemayim V'oratz V'chol Tzavom, Rechaim HaKadosh writes in the Parashas Bereishis, as V'ayichul is a lotion of Nichsevo V'gam Kol Tzonafshi. That means that a person is being mishtoikik, he's longing to become closer to the Rebbeinu Shleim. And he says a very interesting thing, which I can't explain more than the words that he says. He hears from Zakenim, that the reason why the world is round is because all parts of the world have got the equal tshuka to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they're all seeking a longing to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he says a person would be walking on the ground, or any dobim that he sees, and he thinks about it, that this only exists, the shtend only exists, because the Ribbono Shel Olam has said, the Ribbono Shel Olam says that this shtend should be here, so it's going to be here. You hear a key of a soich hamoyin. The Ribbono Shel Olam said there should be a sky. So those words of the Ribbono Shel Olam create this sky. So when a person looks at anything in this world, this micro, whatever it is, and he sees there's really chiyus of the Ribbono Shel Olam that one side should be here, and only because of that, it's here. So he says the whole world be'emes is mishtoikin to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vayichul Hashemayim V'oratz. The whole world mishtoikin to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And accordingly, vayichal elekim vayem hashvi. That's moire back the Ribbono Shel Olam, the gevaldige cheshik towards us. The 23rd pshat, the Chaim HaKadosh says another pshat, it says a very big difference between a behemoth and a person. We know the Gemara says about a camel, shoy ben yeme kol shoy. When you look at on a farm and a baby of an animal is born, after a few moments it can start walking very, very quickly, it can do whatever it needs to do. Whereas a baby, when it's born, it's a long process of years and years in order to be able to look after himself. Shoy ben yoyme, when he's 1 day older, as you call the shoy. Mashiachin, a person, the whole time, he's a holich, he's going more and more. So Rechaim HaKadosh says, Mechukosai teilechu, you should go, you should keep on going. Mechayel el-choy, from one level to another level. So, what inspired me is, as you look at Chuvah Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozna, Poistik HaDoyer, he lived over 100 years, and he left us 11 volumes of Chuvahs. You look at the date, when is the first Chuvah, when the first Krach, the first volume was printed. It was printed in the year Tov Shin Lamed. Rav Ozna then was 60 years old. At the age of 60 years old, he started writing his Tshuvas. Why did he start writing his Tshuvas? Because he saw the Halbe B'chaim L'chaim, Rabbi El Pavarsky, gave out a Sefer, Chelik Beis Bat Kodesh. And Rav Ozna sees the Sefer and he says, one second, this is not his father, Rav David Pavarsky. This is already his son, Rav Beryl. And he's already given out the second volume. What's going to be with me? So that kindesof in Tarab Chochma, that gave him that extra push. He said, I have to start writing my Tshuvas. So he started at 60 years old to start writing his Tshuvas. And he was in Mechukos HaTelechu. He kept on going and going. And even when he was over 90, he gave out a volume of Tshuvas that he went through. He corrected them. And it's in Skabal, the whole Kvitzis Yisrael. So I'm worried that as we're younger, as the size of shoes keep changing year after year, when a person is a child, and a person is physically growing, then you understand you have to keep growing. When a person gets to a certain age that physically not necessarily is growing, but the Bechukos HaTelechu, these G'dayli Yisrael inspires that there's never a stop. I think I said once here the story, but I still get a Moedik Echizik from it. There was a Baal Tshuva Nais Yisrael that became Baal Tshuva when he was 80 years old. His son had already become earlier. He came to visit his son's kodel, and he saw what was going on. One of the people there stood up a little bit. The elderly person came into the room, and they touched him. They respected him. He said, what's going on? They explained to him, and they say, Vatokum. But the place, I'm all, it's not going to halachit the Kechelik back upon him. They're mechabed this person, and that switched him on. So he decided to say, learn. They learned with him from the basics, Mishnayos, Gemara. He managed to finish the whole Perek HaKoinus. So the people in the Koidel made the sea and made the whole fuss. This year, the 80 years old, started learning, finished the whole Perek Gemara. And one of the people there said that there was a famous story by Moshe Feinstein, was a Yid in America, that for many, many, a long tkufa he spent learning one daf Gemara. And asked Moshe, are we allowed to make a siyum? It's not a Perek, it's one daf. So he said, every chelik of Torah in itself, if it's a Dovah Masurim and Torah, it's something to rejoice about. For this Yid, one daf Gemara is something, a Dovah Shalom, you can make a Siyam. The next day, this Yid was Nifta. And Moshe was Masvid, and he said, you see, the tikkun of one daf Gemara went meant to this Yid. So one of the people in the Koyal said this story over by the Siyam of Perek HaKoynos. The next morning, he gets a phone call, and this Yid's on the phone. And he said, last night, Shkoich, the beautiful Siyam, after the night Rosha, but I've got news for you. He said, I'm still alive. I want to carry on learning. So he said, fine, fair enough. So they learnt with him, and this year was Nifta a few years ago, after 3-4 years ago. He was Nifta age of 93. He finished the whole Shas twice. The whole Shas he finished twice. And the people of the Kurd, I saw this printed from you that knows people that know the person, the story personally. And he said, just imagine he's come to Shemayim. And he would have learned one peruk, or even less than that. And so what's going on? Where's your Shas? And me, Shas. He should be happy I put tefillin on from the years of 80. I didn't say, oh, a waste of time, what I've done until now. And I behave like a little child. I started from 80. I started from scratch. I learned a daf gemara, apostle chumash, be happy. He said, no. You could have finished twice, Shas. Why? Because that's what you could have done. That's what you meant to do. And the Baruch Hashem, he managed. But it gives a moedik chizik that a person, not that mechakosa teleich was never ending. A person can keep on going from level to level. And which was zoich ataka that was to mekayim this possible mechakosa teleich was based at tishmu. And accordingly, we'll get like the Rambam tells us that the Bereishis will look after us to make sure that we have the ability to be able to do so. Yeah.